Lawmakers in California have proposed a soda tax and other measures aimed at discouraging residents from drinking sugary drinks. That follows similar measures in a handful of other cities. My next guest has been involved in the effort to reduce soda consumption in the U.S., among other campaigns. Dr. Peter Lurie is president of the Center for Science in the Public Interest. He's in town to speak tonight at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in a talk titled "Holding Government and Industry Accountable in the Development of Food Policy." He's with me, and Peter, in general, how much do policymakers pay attention to food policy among all the other issues they deal with?
I think food policy is one of those things that arises at least periodically for policymakers in Washington. It comes in cycles, I think. You know, they keep a close eye on the regulatory agencies to make sure that, in their view, things don't get out of control. And sometimes they introduce riders and the like that might restrict an agency if they don't like what they're doing. They pay attention to something called the Dietary Guidelines for Americans, which is something that sets the agenda, really, and sets standards for nutrition in this country. And those, in turn, are related to the food programs that the government runs. So in the end, I think there's quite a lot of attention to it. I think, obviously, unlike some other areas where a legislator might be involved, in this case, we can say that all legislators have an interest in as much as all of them eat. And so that tends to engage them without too much difficulty.
Do you find that different levels of government take this issue on differently? You know, for example, some cities have passed, bans on large sugary sodas, for example, as opposed to, the federal government, which regulates USDA and meat inspections, things like that. Do different levels of government tackle these questions differently?
Yeah, they do. And from our center's point of view, we actually look at the whole picture. We have people who are parts of coalitions that work at the state and local level, and then we ourselves will work legislatively and in the federal regulatory agencies as well. So for us, the way that this whole state-federal thing plays out is very often we can identify states or cities, more likely, who are interested in doing something innovative in nutrition. And what happens is they start to implement them. Menu labeling is a good example of this. Sugar-sweetened beverages, school foods, those are others. And over time, there starts to be some kind of critical mass of state or local initiatives, which gets the attention of the federal government. And at that point, sometimes you can get the federal government to intervene so that the thing that the industry, hates the most, which is a patchwork of slightly different laws in all these different jurisdictions, can be averted. So for us, that's a tactic, starting off at the state and local level and then ultimately building it up to federal legislation.
And I would imagine for a group like yours, it's important to try to get out in front of some of these issues as opposed to waiting for the public to hear about food policy through like an outbreak of E. coli or salmonella or something like that.
Yeah, well, certainly. And, speaking of outbreaks of salmonella, we helped pass something called the Food Safety Modernization Act. And its purpose was to act in a preventive fashion. And this was really a revolution in food safety in this country, because previously most everything had been handled on a reactive basis. So with the Food Safety Modernization Act is supposed to put industry on a prevention footing in which they anticipate likely problems and then have processes in place that would avert them.
When you look at what the food supply is in this country in terms of what farmers are growing, what kinds of animals ranchers are raising, how big of a role do economics play in that, in terms of farmers being able to make a living growing the crops that they're growing and ranchers being able to make a living with the amount and the kinds of animals that they're raising?
Well, certainly we're interested in solutions to all of these problems related to the food supply, which, ultimately implicate upon, climate change and environmental issues and contamination in environmental areas in ways that will allow farmers to continue to make a living. And we think there are ways of doing that. There may be a need for some shifting, from one kind of commodity to some extent to another. That might be. But we do believe that in the end, there's probably a way for a sustainable and a healthy diet to be grown.
How big of a challenge is it to make that happen?
It is a big challenge. And, some of these issues are really kind of coming to the fore only now. And I'm thinking here of, or at least recently, sustainability, certainly the climate change aspects. Those kinds of things are getting more attention than they have in the past. And that's forcing people to take another look at what it is that we produce. So, for example, you know, a significant producer of methane, which is, you know, a climate change gas, as it were, is produced, as it happens, by cows that burp. So that needs to be part of the calculus as we go forward.
Your organization has been involved in a lot of sort of well-known food-based campaigns, including decreasing junk food marketing to kids, reducing the amount of sugary sodas that people drink. I'm curious, from your perspective, what is the next big public health food issue that we should be looking out for, that either you will be working on or policymakers are going to be considering at some level of government?
Well, you know, we're working on a lot of different fronts. Food labeling is one of them. The FDA has something called a nutrition innovation strategy that we're generally strongly behind and might bring a better public health focus on nutrition. But we do spend a lot of our time on sugar-sweetened beverages, meaning, you know, soda drinks, and the way in which they contribute, you know, a significant amount of unneeded calories to the American diet, and the relationship between that and the growing obesity epidemic. So that's a big focus for us. You know, we're interested in the taxation of those at the local level and perhaps someday at a federal level. And we're interested in making sure that that kind of junk food stays out of schools. So I think that that's a big driving focus for us at this point.
Dr. Peter Lurie is president of the Center for Science in the Public Interest. He'll be speaking this evening at the U of A College of Medicine as part of the Flynn Foundation Donald K. Buffmeyer Lecture.